FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's 1-3-19. Well, this year is getting off with a real bang. The person you're about to hear from is not a financial expert, but finances are very relevant to what we're going to go into. So I'll just repeat the metals prices, stock market price now. You're looking at gold hitting the 1291 and change, up $7 the ounce today. Silver, 1565, up 17 cents per ounce. This is multiple sessions we've been looking at behavior of the markets. If this is a bump, it's going to be a big bump. But more importantly, today, the Dow Jones Industrial Average as of 2:05 p.m. on Thursday is down a whopping 579.61 points. The dollar index down a whopping, and this is whopping, 0.62%. I mean, this is major, major declines here. Well, I shouldn't say percent. It's down 0.62, the index. And, well, you might be starting to get some bad thoughts in your head. You might think that you need a permanent solution. Well, wait. The person you're about to hear from will help talk you off the ledge, quite literally. Hey, as always, be a part of the show and email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. With us now, Dr. John Huber, our good friend from Texas and a clinical psychologist, has treated people with many different types of disorders and mental illnesses. And Dr. Huber, first, welcome back to the show. And perhaps watching the stock market go down could be akin to a mental illness.
It could be, Kerry. Thank you for having me back on. I appreciate the opportunity today.
Sure. So you're watching the stock market go down. So when the stock market goes up, or when any bubble goes up, it's the greatest thing in the world because all those dopamine is getting released. Your pleasure centers are getting rewarded. Your reward center is getting rewarded. Everything is coming up roses. And then all of a sudden, for no discernible reason, the market changes course. We saw this in Bitcoin last year, December 15th, I think it was. A Bitcoin was worth $19,400 or $700, depending who you ask. And now today, it's worth about $3,800. That's a lot of dopamine production that's going unsupplied here, Dr. Huber. What do you do? How do you cope with it?
Well, what you're also getting is when it goes the wrong way, you're getting all these cortical steroids released into your system that can have serious physiological problems for you. You know, we think about type A personalities and those cortical steroids increasing their risk for heart attack and things like that. But what you don't know is when the reverse is happening, the world's falling out behind you, those cortical steroids kick in and they can actually start setting you up for things like diabetes, for immune depression, immune system depression, sets you up for vulnerability to illness that you might otherwise not even have an issue with at all. So there's a lot of physiological things that are going on. You wonder why now you're sick on top of the market dropping out. So one of the things I tell my patients all the time is, you know, are you there for a historical thing or are you a day trader? You know, and if you're historical, you look at the history, you know, how it's continually trended in the positive direction over time. That's what you're there for. So quit watching it every 15 minutes. Quit. Don't have those alerts go to your smartwatch. Don't have them go to your cell phone. If you've got to do it, set specific times. You do it first thing in the morning, you do it maybe around lunch and then at the close. And that's it. In fact, I would recommend you only look at it two or three times a week if you're a long-term investor. You have, and any reasonable person, I think, would have a financial manager or some sort of a broker person who you trust. You should build a relationship with them. If you start having questions, pick up the phone or text them, email them and say, hey, can you send me more information on this? Get educated. Just don't react with your emotions. That will defeat you every time and make you pull triggers too early, things like that. You have a game plan, stick with your game plan. It's hard to do when things look rocky, though.
Yeah, it is very hard to do. I've been in that situation, and it's made me agitated and depressed. Not this time in particular, but back in the when the .com became the .bomb and blew up, and it's really tough to deal with it. And is there special counseling that you can get by going to somebody such as yourself? And
you need to learn some stress management techniques. So general counseling, if you went to a therapist or a psychologist, and in some places, maybe even a psychiatrist, usually psychiatrists are more about prescribing medication, but they have techniques to deal with stress in general. And once you start learning those, you can specially tune them to your own life situation. In fact, your therapist should be able to help you do that. That's why we call on them and use them. And I think it's important to see that kind of a person before you have the world drop out behind you. I think if you go meet those people when everything's going great, they help you kind of soften out the highs so you don't go by that yacht, you know, and maybe you get a smaller fishing boat instead. And then you have some stuff to fall back on there. You didn't blow everything at the peak because you know it's a rocky road, and they will see you at your best, so they know what you need to be looking like, as opposed to when you walk in there and you're contemplating, hey, that window looks kind of appealing right now. You don't want them to only know that part of you, because then they're kind of guessing, when is he going to be at a good place? And they have their idea of what it is, but they've never seen you that way. So it really is beneficial to get to know some kind of support person, social worker, therapist, PhD, psychologist, something like that, when things are going all right. And, you know, maybe you just use them in general to work on your communication skills. And maybe you have employers or employees that you have a hard time working with. They can give you general advice that way. So it can be beneficial, but they know you when your world looks well. So when things start going bad, they know what you're trying to achieve as a person, not just this idea of, I want to be better. I don't want to be depressed.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to really understand what's going on here and not just be reactive and not just, letting it roll over you. Because also, you're going to make bad decisions when you're in that mental state as well, won't you?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Egypt is on the verge, once again, becoming a world-renowned gold producer. The Golden Age is being rediscovered. For millennia, ancient Egyptian kingdoms prospered from unparalleled riches. Pharaohs built their empires and flaunted their abundant wealth that was made possible by the country's resource-rich gold deposits. Despite this rich history, modern Egypt remains one of the most underdeveloped gold mining countries in the world. Aton Resources is at the center of the modern Egyptian mining world, diligently working both as the only public exploration company in Egypt today and as the advocate for mining reform with the Egyptian government. However, those that arrive early, like Aton, will reap the best rewards. Aton's discovery of the legendary lost mountain of gold at Rudruin and its current aggressive drilling program there could potentially reap those rewards. Aton Resources is focused on its 100% owned Abu Marwat concession in the Arabian Nubian Shield, located 200 kilometers north of Sentimin Sakari's world-class gold mine. Aton possesses first-mover advantage in the underfollowed jurisdiction of Egypt, which is currently undergoing mining reform. To stay on top of Aton's latest drill results and news, go to AtonResources.com. Aton trades on the TSX-V under the ticker AAN and on the OTC under the ticker ANLBF.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Absolutely. It's, you know, I talk with a lot of my patients about, don't make any major decisions. Period. You know, you're in a bad way right now, or you just had, you know, you just went from being really bad off to being really elated right now. Don't make any major decisions. Give yourself 24, 48 hours before you make a decision, because what you find out is it's not your higher functioning making that decision. It's your emotions making that decision, because you are feeling better or you are feeling really bad and you're not thinking rationally. And it's real easy to get into that funk. And headlines do that to us. So one of the other things I say, turn off your news alert system, okay? You have a broker or a financial manager, they will contact you when you need to be contacted. And otherwise, like I said, set a schedule up when you will check the markets if you have to check them frequently.
Hey, that reminds me also, Doctor, of 9/11, when that occurred. I mean, if you couldn't rip yourself away from the television set.
Oh, yeah.
You had some serious depressing moments then, agitated, fearful, everything else. So coming to terms, I guess what we're really talking about, Doctor, is coming to terms with major external events of which you have little or no control over.
And you have no control over those. So don't feel responsible as if you did have control over those. And, you know, that event was very significant for me. I was living in Miami, Florida. There's a lot of connections with New York.
Sure.
And, you know, all these public servants, police, fire department, EMS were going to New York and coming back. And I was working with their kids. And I lived for the weekend. And I would get on a sailboat and I would get out and anchor out off one of the keys starting Friday night and not come back Sunday night. But I turned off the radio, no television, nothing. I just went out there, laid in the sun, maybe swam a little bit here, had a snack, and just vegetated because I had to get away from it because it was 24/7. And then I was supposed to be helping people. So,
sure.
You know, you have to learn to manage.
Yes, it's very important. And it's very easy to lose perspective, especially in a 9/11 type event. At least the market might come back. My opinion right now, what's going on, profound changes in the market, but at some point it will come back because historically the market has gone higher for over 100 years now. We're looking at there could be long prolonged down periods if you're elderly and you've been in overly risky investments, then you might never recover it, but otherwise you are probably going to be okay. So, you know, but these outside events, I was in California, Doctor, during the wildfires, and I was 3 miles or two miles as the crow flew away from Malibu. The fire is going on there, and I wasn't particularly scared about it because I didn't have a house there, and I could just get in the car and leave. But it was very, very disconcerting looking up in the sky and seeing these brown clouds of smoke. And the place smelled like, kind of like what it smells like probably down by you when you get a chilly day and everybody puts wood in their fireplaces and you get this.
Exactly.
Odor. But multiply that times 100 and
begin
to start to get an idea of what this thing was like. It was amazing. I just can't even begin to tell you.
Man, that's a scary thought right there. And, you know, they give us warnings for a reason. And we listen in that case, we listen to the authority, which would be the fire and the EMS people telling us, hey, you need to evacuate. We need to listen to them. That's why we have professionals in this industry, you know, and those hopefully are you've got one you trust. If you don't have one you trust, you need to find a different one.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, that's what it really boils down to. If you're like, well, I don't know, then if you don't know, if you don't trust your financial manager, you need to go find somebody else. I mean, that's ultimately what it boils down to.
Yeah, couldn't agree with
that. That will give you that security right there.
That's really the truth. You have to, you got to, you know, find someone you trust and really, really just, hey, get rid of that person if it's not working for you, right?
I mean, that's right.
You need to do it.
That's right. You have control that way. That's really the only kind of control you have in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, that's definitely it. So any more advice as far as stock market? Like, should you be meditating? Is meditation a way of
I think meditation works really well. But what I really want is something we're not doing is we need to get some exercise. Get out there, get your heart pumping, and do something that keeps you from being able to sit down and look at your phone, you know? Mm-hmm. And so maybe pick up a basketball team, join an adult basketball league, or what I do is martial arts. I do 3 to 6 hours a week, and it's it's a Korean martial arts, so they instruct in Korean. So I have to not think about my day, or I get knocked on my butt because I wasn't listening and I don't understand Korean well enough just to react like I do in English.
Yeah, I'm big on the exercise. I try to work out 3 hours a week and try to bike ride for another 4 or 5 hours when it's not summer out. And nothing will get rid of your stress like that, Dr. Huber. I mean, it really, I don't know if it releases endorphins.
It does, and increases serotonin levels in your brain.
Which leads to an enhanced feeling of well-being, correct?
Exactly. And then, but the important thing is, too, you got to be getting some sunlight, okay? Because the sunlight works with our skin, and it makes vitamin D.
Vitamin D,
and we can take a vitamin D supplement, but that really doesn't give us what we need. The vitamin D production leaves waste products in our bloodstream, and those waste products can actually enter our brain. And then our brain uses those waste products as building blocks for the serotonin, for the dopamine, for the norepinephrine. So if we don't have enough sunlight, even if our body's trying to make more serotonin, it doesn't have the stuff to make it with.
Right.
So daylight is important. And, you know, we've been in, you know, the winter time here, and I started feeling myself getting down. I've been going to a tanning bed because I don't have time to get out during work day. And I get that vitamin, and it's amazing. My wife's like, in a week afterwards, she goes, "Oh my God, you're in such a good mood." It's like, because I've got the building blocks again to make things work.
Hey, what about the concept of massage therapy? Does that help with these moods?
Does that help? My wife's a massage therapist, so I would tell you, yes, it does. In fact,
you're a little biased.
I use a different massage therapist because, you know,
yeah, obviously.
I get tired of trading off cooking and going out to eat for massages. So
you could do some therapy. I'm sure she could use it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So we each have our own massage therapist, and I go weekly to my massage therapist. Sometimes I go twice a week if I'm having a rough week or if I've injured myself in working out.
Yeah.
So I'm a firm believer in all of those. Exercise, right. Massage therapy, meditation, therapy.
Yeah.
Eating right is important.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you have to eat well. It doesn't mean what they'd like you to believe. It doesn't necessarily mean organic food. It means a balanced meal where you get all the nutrients that you require. You know, maybe organic is better, although I don't want to get into the whole perversion of the law of organic foods.
Yes.
Because so then the whole thing now is more like locally produced, which is good.
Then I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I've had good experience with locally produced food. It tastes better for sure. It travels less. It's not in a
And they're
car.
Accountable to you, their neighbor.
Yeah, exactly. So you're keeping money in the community. A lot of benefits to it. But the whole thing comes down to a balanced meal and, you know, cutting down on those processed foods. They're horrible. There's no nutritional benefit to many of them. The junk. I mean, you know, you go into the supermarket, doctor, between the soda, the sweet juices, the snacks, the crackers, the pretzels, all that stuff, potato chips. I mean, it's okay to do it once in a while, but I think, hey, you're in bad physical condition. You eat junk food, and I think it just feeds on itself. So
it does feed on itself. One of the things that has helped me is managing my intake, not just in eating right. I've always eaten right, but, you know, I was one of these college athletes and high school athletes, so my proportions have been out of whack forever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and that's what I worked on this past year, is getting my proportions right. And I realized that when I eat till I'm happy, till I'm satiated, I become very lethargic the rest of the day until I start getting hungry again. So when I eat an appropriate portion, I'm getting plenty of nutrition. I'm getting all the caloric intake I need, but I'm also much more alive and involved in the moment the rest of the day. So it benefits me all the way around. And in the meantime, it took me 11 weeks, I've lost 36 pounds.
Wow.
So
that's pretty impressive. That's
very impressive.
I still have
ice cream. I still have chocolate. You know, I just eat smaller amounts.
Yeah, which isn't that hard to do. You can definitely do it. And it doesn't really require just rebalancing, not eating as many carbohydrates. Carbohydrates always make me more hungry throughout the day. If I start out with a bagel in the morning, then I'm going to be eating constantly throughout the day. If I don't have any carbs in the morning, it's easier not to even think about them. Well, we started out about the stock market here, Dr. Huber. Now we're talking about nutrition. But I think the point you're making, and it's a little indirect the way that we made it, is that mental health is holistic. It doesn't just start with, you know, thinking happy thoughts. You have to be treating your body properly, working out. Workouts are such an important thing because stress management is, stress is a killer. We've known this for decades now, and you can help manage the stress of uncertain financial markets, uncertain political times. If I'm really feeling stressed out, I just, luckily the gym is right down the block from me. I just walk right over there. I hop on the treadmill for 10, 15 minutes, and then I do a lot of different exercises. I put in a full hour, and I won't say I've lost any weight because I've been eating like a pig this holiday season, but I haven't gained any either. And my muscle, and my BMI has definitely gone down because I've been powerlifting. So, but aside from all that, you know, the workouts really, every book on managing stress tells you physical exercise. Doesn't matter what it is, but they tell you get up off your butt. Hey, I want to talk to you about a pet peeve of mine, by the way.
Okay.
This has been aggravating the hell out of me, and it's not necessarily psychological, but the delusion is somehow, if it has come into common folklore that if you have a standing desk, it's healthier than sitting at your desk. Now, I think this is complete and utter nonsense. I think it's sedentary lifestyle versus active lifestyle that really determines it. And, but you know, like I'm at my desk, I'm talking to you. After we're done, I'm going to go up, grab a glass of water. I'm going to walk around. I'll read some stuff. You know, the standing desk thing has just gotten out of control.
It has. I mean, what it's done is move some of the pressure from your lower back to your hips and then to your knees.
And, your
and when those start bothering you, you go back to sitting at your desk again. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden the sitting goes back to you're sitting in an inappropriate chair too long and now lower back pain and shoulder pain. So it's a vicious cycle. You got to get the exercise. And it really is. This is all interrelated to how to deal with that stock market stress. It's balance.
Mm-hmm.
It's balance.
Yeah. Hey, there's so many bad things that happen to you when you stand too much. This is worse than sitting. You got hemorrhoids.
Oh, yeah.
You got bad joint pain, especially if you're a little overweight. You know, you got swelling of your joints. And I just don't see why it's so great. Now, I could see if you kind of alternate a little bit, standing up, sitting. And also, if you have meetings in your office and you want them to be quick and concise, there's no better way to do that than having a standing desk and making everybody stand in your office. They'll be out in 10 or 15 minutes.
Don't have any chairs in there.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Worked for Donald Rumsfeld. He was the first one I ever heard of having a standing desk. And
really?
Yeah. He was the first one when he became defense secretary again. There was an article about it. But my just as an anecdote, my friend was like, oh, a standing desk is great. And he went and he spent $5,000 getting a custom-built Amish desk. It was a gorgeous piece of furniture. It was magnificent. The finish, it was like, I don't even know. It was mahogany, some type of rare wood. I'll tell you what, like, I would have used it as a countertop, a high-top countertop to have food at. I thought that was the best use of it, but he seemed to think a standing desk was great. And he lasted less than a week, and he was back to his old workstation in the unhealthy chair. and it became a desk, it became an appointment, an office appointment, pushed off in a corner of his office.
Oh, no.
It was great, but you know, standing desks, they aren't going to make you feel happier, are they?
No, they're not going to make you feel. It's just like winning the lottery doesn't really make you feel after that first 12 months. If you were depressed before, you're going to be depressed again. Now you just have a lot more money to be depressed with.
Yeah, well, you know what they say, doctor. Money can't buy happiness, but it'll do till the real thing comes along. So,
well, I look at it as a multiplier. Once you know, if you're not happy with yourself, all the money in the world is maybe initially going to make you feel better, but you'll go back to being not happy. And now that money is a multiplier. So now you're dealing with taxes and you're having to deal with this, and it makes your problems seem much more intense. But if you're happy, it makes your happiness much more intense.
That's such a great point. You know, it really is. It's really true. Hey, if we want to read more of your work, find out about you on the web, where do we go?
Well, you can go to the main website is mainstreammentalhealth.org, and that's kind of long, so we've got a shorter version of it. You can go to drpsycho.org, that's drpsycho.
All right.
.org.
Excellent. And hopefully you people out there listening, hopefully the market will start going up, so you'll be able to ignore all this for now. But if it doesn't, you got to try something else, because what you're doing now isn't working. Hey, be a part of the show and email us, kl@carrielutz.com. If you are watching, listening on YouTube, then please subscribe, like, and share. If you're listening on your conventional podcast channel, please share the show if you like it. It really helps us get the message out, helps us put things in perspective, and helps get you the information that you need to survive, not just survive, but actually thrive in this new economy, because 2019 is the year of the new economy. Dr. Huber, always a pleasure. Best wishes to you for the coming year. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you so much, Kerry. You have an amazing year.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.